I want you to think about something. You remember the last time you went to an amusement park? For some of you, it's probably this summer or so. I was trying to think the last time I was at an amusement park. Our kids were little. In their teens. That's been a while ago. But as you prepared to go, do you remember the excitement? As you drove toward the park, across the parking lot, you enter the gates. Oh, what were you feeling? What? Anticipation. Joy. Intrepidation. What am I getting into? You see all the kids and the youth and families. And can you just feel the excitement that's growing? Our Bible school theme this summer was learning to live God's adventure, using the metaphor of the amusement park. Topics included preparation. Jesus is with us through the good times and bad, the fun times and the scary ones, and the long line. We can take our fears to God. We follow Jesus wherever he may lead us. Sometimes God leads in ways we do not expect. God's adventure, you know, is best lived with family and friends. Learning to live God's adventure. But I want to ask a question for you. Your life and religion, does it reflect adventure or control? I'm not talking about them out there. I'm not talking about the Muslims somewhere. I'm talking about you. Just a question for you to answer. Control, rules, order, do things right. Well, that's part of it. There's good value to that. Scriptures contain a lot of that. But what about adventure? Is it possible that our religion can be a way of adventure, risky undertaking, remarkable and exciting? Is it possible? Have you read some of the stories of the Bible lately? Think about a guy by the name of David, son of Jesse, considered one of the greatest kings of all of Israel, reigned from 1010 approximately to about 970 BC. An exhilarating story of a boy who rose from being a shepherd to becoming a mighty warrior and a king. Hey, one day this poor boy, there was this famous political guy coming to visit their home. We're hearing about the excitement of the Pope coming to September and all that's going on. Well, that would have been somewhat what was going on. A guy by the name of Samuel, a prophet and a priest, was coming to their home. And David, being the youngest, he got left out to take care of the sheep. They didn't want him to embarrass the family. You know, he seemed to be a hyper kid. And so he's out taking care of the sheep, doing whatever it is you do, taking care of the sheep, throwing rocks, you know. And pretty soon here comes some of the older brothers. David, they want you up at the house. You got to be kidding. So he finally gets up to the house, and here's this old dude, long white hair, beard. As David comes in, this guy gets up, takes a flask of oil, and pours it on his head. And says, "You are going to be the next king of Israel." Now, suppose you're David. You're a young kid. You've been taking care of sheep. You're the youngest brother. There's not a whole lot of responsibility. And guy says you're going to be king. Do you have even an idea what a king is? You're going to be a king. And from there, the story unfolds. What a story. I'm telling you, it's a story of adventure. It's exciting. It's a story of enemies that try to kill him But he finally becomes king. And this psalm, this king wrote a familiar psalm, a great old psalm. Now, you wonder, what does this have to do with adventurous living, okay? This psalm identifies the way King David looked back on his life and saw God leading him step by step in an adventure. Ah, join with me in a reading of this psalm. I've got it here from the New International Version, so it'll have a little different phrasing from what some of you are used to when you memorized it yourself back in Bible school somewhere. But don't get in a big hurry with this. Our job is not to see how fast we can do it. My invitation is to let it sift into your being. I invite you to join with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Yeah. Six unique provisions, and I have to hurry because we got to get the children in, and you want to listen to them, not to me. But the Lord restores my soul. When it's all jumbled up, the word that's translated soul is translated psuche in the old ancient Koine Greek translation of the Old Testament Hebrew, and it's the word we use for psyche or psychology. It's a study of the soul. The Lord restores my psyche. When things are messed up, when things are scary, He leads me beside still waters, green pastures. He grants rest. Ah. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Righteousness is a major theme in the Bible, focusing on justice and doing things right. But it also focuses on doing right things, things that are often risky. Things that don't always make good sense. Just read through the Bible. There's plenty of stories. I'm telling you what, in good, modern, common sense, you would say, that's stupid. But there's a difference. God is leading. God is prompting. The ways of righteousness. And Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit leading us to discern right actions in complex situations. The Lord leads us in right living. The Lord walks with us through dark valleys. The old translation was through the valley of the shadow of death. Major manuscripts say, in the valley of deepest darkness, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I'm strong? No. Because I'm put together? No. Because I've got a good plan? No. Why am I not afraid? Because the Lord is with me. My shepherd walks with me through those dark valleys. And the Lord feeds me. He provides a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Spiritual nourishment. Psychical nourishment. Yes, even physical. Oh, we could spend a whole lot of time there, but God brings along, nourishes us in very unique ways. The Lord anoints my head with oil. Now, we usually think about anointing with healing and comforting and, you know, softening. And did you hear part of the story? David comes from taking care of the sheep. He comes in, this old dude gets a flask, and what does he do? Was it to comfort David? No. Was it to heal him? He wasn't sick. What was the anointing for? God had a mission. Be king. And to get there, God was going to use war and all kinds of strife to train David as king. He anoints my head for, he anoints us for service to others. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, the Apostle Peter says, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful life. God's got a purpose for you. And finally, surely goodness and love will follow us in those provisions to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David's divine shepherd has a purpose for you, my friend. We oftentimes think about purpose. God has a purpose for every child. Maybe our children would understand that better if adults, we accepted the fact God has a purpose for you. Whether you're 16 or 26 or 46 or 66 or 80, God has a purpose for you. Do you know that? Well, we don't have time to talk about that one. I'm going to talk about that one next week a little bit. Yeah? Some of you are experiencing some pretty severe adversity. These provisions are for you today. He gives rest and restores your soul. He leads in righteous living. He'll walk with you through the dark valleys. He nourishes you with his living bread. He anoints you for mission. The product, his goodness and mercy, will follow you all the days of your life. Here's a question I ask you. Why is it that some people seem to be able to come through adversity with great faith while others are spiritually destroyed? Those with great faith look up to heaven and ask for God's help. Those who are spiritually destroyed look to heaven and accuse God of being untrustworthy. God's got a venture for you. I want to ask you a question today before the kids come in. Are you living God's adventure for you today? Danita, let's sing a song, and then the kids are going to come in and minister to us with their program.